Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. Today we're taking a look at some fascinating research you sent our way about finite fields.
Yeah, and this paper gets even more interesting. It turns out that there are some unexpected connections between these fields and, well, the behavior of certain up and down functions.
Up and down functions. Okay, now you've really piqued my curiosity. But first things first, can we take a step back? I think I need a bit of a refresher on finite fields. I'm picturing like a field, you know, with a fence around it.
Right.
Which is probably way off base.
Well, there are boundaries. But instead of a fence, picture like a clock face.
The clock face.
Right. You've got your numbers, but they wrap around. So once you hit 12, you loop back to 1. Finite fields, in a way, are similar. You're dealing with a set of numbers, but the arithmetic kind of operates within this closed loop.
Ah, I see. Like adding or multiplying on a clock face. And didn't we talk about finite fields before in the context of, like, cryptography?
Absolutely. Think about the last time you bought something online. You know how your credit card information is all zipped up, nice and secure?
Yeah.
Big chances are finite fields are working behind the scenes to keep that safe.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So it's like this whole secret world of math that's making our digital lives possible.
Exactly. And their uses go way beyond online shopping. They're also essential for things like making sure that your data isn't corrupted when it's being transmitted or stored. Error correcting codes. Finite fields.
Okay, that's seriously impressive. So we've got these finite fields with their own set of rules. But now, how do these up and down functions fit into all of this? I saw in the paper they were called going up and down, which seems pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it really is. The name comes from how they look visually. You can imagine their graphs kind of zigzagging like a mountain range. Peaks and valleys.
Those peaks and valleys, the ups and downs, that all comes down to the p-value in the paper, right?
You got it. And the bigger that p-value, the more jagged that mountain range gets.
Okay, I'm starting to get the picture. But this is where things start to get a little fuzzy for me. Now we're bringing in things like fixed points.
Right. And this is where it gets really interesting. So, you know how functions can have those points, the fixed points, where the input and output are exactly the same?
Right. Like points of equilibrium.
Perfect analogy. Now, here's the surprising part. The paper shows that the number of fixed points, but with a very specific property in these up and down functions, is directly related to something called irreducible polynomials in the corresponding finite field.
Hold on. Polynomials. How did we jump from these visual up and down functions to polynomials?
I know. It's a pretty wild leap, right?
Okay.
To connect those dots, we need to talk about something called a bijection.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll really start to see how intertwined these ideas really are.
All right. A bijection, huh? I have to admit, that term's not exactly coming back to me from my math days. But it sounds like it's the key to understanding how these up and down functions and the polynomials and finite fields are all connected.
It is. And it's honestly more than just like a coincidence. It shows this really elegant link between these two ideas.
Okay, color me intrigued, but also maybe just a little lost. Can we break it down? What exactly is a bijection and how does it apply here?
Okay, yeah. So imagine you have two groups of things, right? In one group, you've got all the fixed points from our up and down functions. And then in the other group, you've got all of the elements of a finite field. A bijection is like finding this perfect pairing between those two groups. Each thing in the first group gets matched up with one and only one thing in the other group. No leftovers, no duplicates.
Ah, okay. So it's not just that the number of fixed points and the number of elements happen to be the same. It's that you can actually draw a line between, like, this specific fixed point goes with this specific element.
Yes, exactly. And the paper actually gives us a little peek into how that pairing works. Remember how they have those lists of permutations where P equals 2 and P equals 3?
Well, I'm looking at them now. Example 1.5, right?
That's it. That's them showing us the nuts and bolts of this bijection, which they call Ben.
Right. And then they have Theorem 1.7, which seems like a pretty big deal.
It is. It's really the crux of it all. Theorem 1.7 basically proves that this mapping, this bay, it's not just some random coincidence. It's a genuine bijection, creating this link between the fixed points of those up and down functions and, on the other side, the elements in our finite field.
So, bay, it's like the decoder ring that lets us translate between these two totally different mathematical languages.
I like that. That's a great way to put it. And, you know, the paper goes even further. They show bay in action. Like example 4.3, they actually use computer programs, Python, SageMath, to actually calculate this bijection.
Wow, they really got their hands dirty with the code.
You did. But even if you're not a programmer, the visualizations they give are really something.
You mean like figures 2 and 3? Those are wild.
Right. Those swirling patterns, they're actually representing what are called the orbits of the fixed points.
Orbits? Like planets?
Kind of. Imagine taking one of those fixed points, and then you apply the up and down function to it over and over again. The orbit is like the trail it leaves behind.
Okay, so we've got this bijection, which is already super cool, connecting these fixed points in one world to elements in another, and then the orbits give us this visual way to see how those fixed points actually behave.
You've got it.
This is honestly blowing my mind a little bit, and to think we haven't even gotten to the Chebyshev polynomials yet.
Oh, we're getting there, and that's where things get really, really fascinating.
Chebyshev polynomials. Okay, now we're talking. I actually remember those from back in my college math days, though I have to admit, I haven't thought about sines and cosines in a while.
Well, get ready for a little refresher, because they're kind of the key to bringing this whole thing together. Chebyshev polynomials, they're kind of a big deal in math. Especially in things like, you know, approximating more complicated functions.
Right. They're like those mathematical shortcuts. Yeah. I vaguely remember using them for stuff like that.
Exactly. But here's the really mind-blowing part, right? The researchers found a way to connect these Chebyshev polynomials back to our up and down functions. And you guessed it, back to finite fields. And the bridge they used, trigonometry.
Wait, seriously? So they connected those zigzagging up and down functions we were talking about to Chebyshev polynomials using cosine?
That's pretty wild, isn't it? And they didn't just stop at a connection. They actually used it to factor Chebyshev polynomials, break them down in new and interesting ways.
So it's like those fixed points, the ones linked to the finite fields, they basically held the key to understanding these Chebyshev polynomials all along.
You could say that. And you know, what really excites me, towards the end of the paper, the researchers, they kind of hint that this whole bijection thing, this really elegant connection, it might not be limited to just these specific up and down functions.
Really?
Yeah. They think it could potentially apply to other types of functions, ones that have that same kind of up and down behavior on their graphs.
Wow. So this one paper, it's like opening a door to a whole new way of thinking about totally different areas of math. I love that. We started with these finite fields, these systems where numbers are like trapped in a loop. And then we explored these, you know, visually intuitive up and down functions. And we saw how they're all connected to Chebyshev polynomials through this amazing bijection. And to think it all hinges on something as like seemingly basic as cosine.
It really makes you appreciate just how interconnected mathematics really is. There are these hidden patterns, these beautiful relationships, just waiting to be discovered, you know?
It really just makes you wonder, like, what other surprising connections are out there? Well, on that note, we'll leave you with that thought-provoking question to ponder. A huge thanks to our expert for being an expert. That was seriously fascinating stuff.
My pleasure. Glad we could unpack this together.
And to you, dear listener, thanks for joining us for another deep dive. We'll be back soon with another exciting exploration into the world of research. Until then, stay curious.